White, J.E. White, Emma. St. Helena, California. March 10, 1907. Edson and Emma White, Nashville, Tennessee. Dear children, I was hoping to see you both soon, but this does not seem possible now. I do not feel that it would be best to urge you to come, because the Lord is to be consulted in all our affairs. He knows what is best for us. We are His property, bought with the price of the blood of His precious Son. Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, 20. I have a work to do in the South as soon as I can get off certain writings. Often I am up at 4 o'clock in the morning, sometimes at 3, and sometimes at 2. My left eye is troubling me, and I know that I will have to give it more rest. The goodness of the Lord to me is very great. I praise His name that my mind is clear on Bible subjects. The Spirit of God works upon my mind and gives me appropriate words with which to express the truth. I am also greatly strengthened when I stand before large congregations. I will not distrust the Lord, but will hang my helpless soul on Christ. I see a great work to be done by our people. I am studying how we can make a success of the sale of the books, Christ's Object Lessons, and Ministry of Healing. In order to fill the mission to which these books were dedicated, they should be in constant circulation. Also, the book education should be widely read. It should be regarded as a treasure given by God to help His people in this crisis in their history. These books have already been a great blessing, but with judicious, persevering effort, they can be made to do a still greater work. I am troubled on every side, but I know the Lord will sustain me and make me trustful in Him who can fulfill all our desires. In the night, I have many wakeful hours, which I spend in review and prayer. Some time ago, I received a message from Elder Haskell, saying that a room was prepared for me in the house that stands on the lot of ground which the Oakland Brethren have bought for their church building. This piece of land is high and dry and is not surrounded by any very large and expensive buildings. I trust that our brethren will build a humble house of worship in Oakland, for we have every reason to believe from the present record of San Francisco's crimes and of the murders and robberies that are being committed in Oakland that another visitation will come to San Francisco and that calamity will fall on Oakland also. In San Francisco, plans are being laid to build larger and more costly buildings than have ever stood in that city. Though several earthquake shocks have been felt, these warnings are being disregarded by many. We will have, say they, such buildings as we have never had before, larger and more magnificent. Christ says, "When they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, and they shall not escape." 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 3. Every kind of wickedness continues to be practiced in San Francisco, and Oakland is fast becoming an undesirable place in which to live. The record of dishonesty and conniving and vileness that has resulted from the investigation into the cases of men holding official positions, and which has been opened before all through the courts, should certainly open blind eyes and lead us to inquire, whom can we trust? Where can we find men of honor? As these evils are being revealed, even the worldling can see that corruption is filling the earth, as it did in the time of Noah, and for which God had then to destroy the world by a flood. But instead of calling these men to repentance, the revelations are turning the office holders one against another, and they are exposing to the world every species of crime in the lives of judges and jurors and senators alike. Satan is at work to corrupt with his deceiving policies the rulers and the people. This work will be carried on from city to city until the guilt of the whole world will be manifest, and it will be plainly seen why God permits His judgments to fall on the earth. They will come because of the pride of heart, the falsehood, the dishonesty, the profanity that is manifest. The Lord will come out of His place to punish the earth for her iniquity. The earth shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. God has designed that these revelations should be made, that those who read the accounts of them may understand that men's sins have reached unto heaven, and that the time is surely near when God will blot out iniquity from the earth. May the Lord help me at this time of awful judgments to make my calling and election sure, to put on the wedding garment, that when he comes, I may be found without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. While this work of investigation has been going forward, I have been able to bear my testimony in San Francisco and Oakland. I spoke in the Oakland church 4 times. Each time I had an attentive audience, and at one of our meetings we had a baptismal service. At the back of the pulpit in this church is a baptistry, separated from the church by sliding panels. When these panels were thrown back, the whole congregation could witness the baptismal service without moving from their seats. The meeting house in San Francisco, which your father and I, with Brother Chittenden and a few others, were instrumental in building, was only slightly damaged by the earthquake. The chimneys fell, and some of the plaster was broken from the walls. I had an opportunity to speak in that house, and I was very thankful for this. We think now that this building will be sold, for Van Ness Avenue is being crowded with saloons. The house, as you know, is a very commodious one, and comfortably seated, but it is poorly ventilated. The blessing of the Lord rested upon me as I spoke to the people here. My advice to those in San Francisco who are planning to dispose of this church would be to build 2 meeting houses, simple and plain, for those who are obliged to live in San Francisco. As little money as possible should be invested in these buildings, for the judgments of God will surely fall again on this wicked and corrupt city. Every moment of time is precious now, too precious to be trifled away. I pray that I may make no mistakes. I desire that my life shall be in harmony with the one who laid aside his glory and clothed his divinity with humanity, that he might bring righteousness and judgment and peace to the human family, by teaching men how to live a life of obedience to God and to lay hold of the merits of a crucified and risen Savior. I pray that my life may be hid with Christ in God, that when Christ, who is my life, may appear, I shall appear with him in glory. Oh, what a work is before us in warning the world of Christ's soon return! I cannot sleep for thinking of the men who suppose they are ready for Christ's return, but who are unprepared to meet him. I have been instructed not to perplex my mind over a multiplicity of wrongs that I cannot make right, but to keep my testimony clear and decided along lines that will lead men to live clean, true lives, and to be in earnest in following every precept of the great teacher. This instruction is of value to you also. It is not your duty to try to lift every burden that may be crowded upon you. Those who come to you to know their duty, bid them go to the Lord Jesus and ask of him wisdom and receive his grace. If you undertake to counsel and guide others, and your judgment does not meet the mind and judgment of those who seek your help, they will be tempted to think you have made a mistake. Bid all carry their burdens and questions to the Lord. He is the only one who can unerringly guide human souls. Let them come to me in faith, he says, and I will instruct them. The infinite Son of God has paid with his own life the ransom price for human souls. Oh, how earnestly should we work that he shall not have died in vain! I will do the work he has given me to do, for am I not his purchased possession? I will labor with heart and soul, with pen and voice, to point souls to the narrow path. Truth will bear away the victory. I dare not miss my chance. I will labor on the right hand and on the left. I will sow beside all waters, not knowing which shall prosper, this or that. We each need a living union with Christ. We are not safe unless our souls are knit to His.